Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Get ready for an extremely important three-hour transmission as we simulcast on the AM and FM dial, XM Sirius, global shortwave, internet streams at Infowars.com, and live video streaming of the show at PrisonPlanet.tv. And if you're watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, you can see the front page of the Drudge Report right now. Let's stay in Iraq, says President Obama. And Drudge has a flashback, quote, I intend to remove all U.S. troops from Iraq by the end of 2011. And, of course, we have the same reports and flashbacks up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. But Drudge has that special way of laying it out, so we like to show you what's going on over there at DrudgeReport.com. We have a lot of important and informative guests coming up today. I'll tell you about that coming up in the next segment, get into much of the news. And the news just gets heavier and crazier by the millisecond. And I'm also going to break down the history, just the basic history of Obama and all these wars coming up later in the hour. But simply put, you remember, don't you? Critical thinking is now, quote, a conspiracy theory. If you call the Libya war a war, you're called a conspiracy theorist because they say it's not a war, even though the Pentagon's own lawyers say, no, it's a war, President. And he just laughs at them and says, well, the UN says it's not, so it isn't. And after all, they control reality, according to them. And if we buy into it and go along with it, I guess they do control reality. I love to use the analogy of the historical parallel of the Aztecs. It was mainline government policy that they sacrificed at dawn, at noon, and at dusk in every major city every day, multiple individuals. And on holidays, hundreds, and in some cases thousands, tens of thousands, were sacrificed. And if you were to teleport beam yourself back to, say, 1,000 years ago, in the Great Valley there where Mexico City is today at the Great Pyramid, Mexico City, on, say, a solar or lunar eclipse where tens of thousands were being sacrificed to the point of their society was almost completely collapsed when the conquistadors showed up. A few hundred of them could whip hundreds of thousands of Aztecs because it was just a complete joke by them because they sacrificed their strongest, their, well, that gets into a whole anthropology history lesson. The issue here is that if you were to teleport yourself back and if you could speak Mayan to those Aztecs, they spoke Mayan because they were, of course, the Mayans were the proto-culture of all those different groups in southern North America and Central America, but I'm digressing. If you were to teleport back and could speak Mayan to them and said, look, don't sacrifice your children, don't engage in cannibalism, that was the main meat source. The priests made their money off selling the human flesh in the markets below the pyramids. This is a bad thing. They would laugh at you and no doubt drag you up the pyramid and cut your heart out. Especially if you were white. The most prized sacrifice of the Aztecs was an albino. If you were an albino, they tortured you for a long period of time and then sacrificed you. And then it was a succulent, most delicious meat available. But again, I'm not supposed to make a cultural comment on that and say, I judge that as a wicked culture, just like I'm not supposed to judge the Nazis as wicked. Oh, it's okay to judge that culture as wicked, but don't judge Stalin or Mao or Pol Pot or anybody else as wicked. But see, that's the essence of freedom is being able to differentiate. This wine tastes sour and bad. This wine tastes good. This Chile Relleno tastes delicious. This one tastes rotten. This peach tastes good. This one tastes horrible. I like purple grapes instead of green grapes. Everything is discrimination. But they teach you that any discrimination of any type is evil so that you won't have a worldview on your own. But I now digress. I'm going to get wound up here because there's a lot of stuff to cover on the other side of this break. And we have Jan Irvin joining us to get into TV mind control and the research he's done proving that it's on record that it is used as a mind control device. And then Jimmy Justice is joining us. Also your calls.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We've got Jan Ervin joining us, reading over the reports that he's compiled. It is stunningly accurate, dealing with the admitted history of social engineering, the fact that governments designed the television flicker rate in rodent and primate and human studies to have a hypnotizing effect. And it gets into animal psychology, the rat studies of a rat maze, how to make the rats consume the most and be the most controlled. That's how supermarkets are set up. When you think they're like a rat maze, they are. You need to be aware that most of the DARPA funding here in the United States, which is over 90% of total research money through the federal government, over 90% of research money is federal, goes to select corporations and universities, and most of it is in human control. You know, we talk about how did the strongest, toughest, smartest, most aggressive people in history, historians from Europe, historians from Asia, came here and marveled at Americans because we were the stock of pirates, swashbucklers, freebooters, criminals, adventurers, religious fanatics, as the media would describe it, people that wanted to do things their own way. The seeds of the United States are just amazing. The black folks that came here automatically were the strongest and the smartest in Africa. Why? On average, you can go back to the Atlantic slave trade reports from the 15, 16, 1700s, and it's one of my favorite pastimes is to read naval history. They have a lot of books that are history books, pretty much made up of French, Portuguese, Spanish, Dutch, and British trip logs, rudders, as they were called, captain's logs. And it describes the ships coming into the Gold Coast, the slave coast of Western Africa, and sometimes 80, 90% of the crew would die from malaria. They didn't know what was killing them, and how they would have these debilitated forts where they were always having to ship new administrators, and how most of them would die. So it wasn't just that half of the blacks that were shipped over here as slaves or to the Caribbean or Central or South America or North America, it wasn't just that half the blacks on average died. And it's horrible stories of how depressed the blacks would be. They would get the Africans up out of the bottom of the holds and, quote, dance them, because if they didn't give them exercise, they would die in the, you know, 4 to 8 week, depending on the winds, journey across the Atlantic to the Americas. And the blacks would be so, that's what they're called in the books, the blacks would be so depressed that in many cases they'd have to dance them in chains because they would jump over the side of the ships. They were so depressed, being kidnapped from their families. But most of the people on the ships, the white people, were kidnapped. They would send armored carriages out into the most rural areas and would actually run out into the fields where young men or young boys, sometimes as young as age 6, were working, and kidnap them. And so that's why piracy was so popular, was you'd have mutinies because of the corruption and the people dying. And then they would steal the ship, kill the, you know, the captain, and take it. And they would actually get blacks on board. And that's why pirates are seen as one of the genesis of modern liberty, because actually they actually had a republic form of government. Some of them had a pure democracy on board the ship. But see, that's the problem. I have all this news and I'm digressing. But if you don't know history, you don't know what's happening currently. But getting back to the incredible ruggedness of people, especially in North America, that's who it was made up of. That's who it was made up of. Ships that had mutinied and run to the New World. One of the favored places was New York. To just beach the ship, get off, change your name. That's why there's so many Joneses and Smiths, because if you were a wanted man, you'd change your name because records weren't very good to Jones or Smith or Johnson. I myself, we've tracked it all the way back to England. I am a Jones. But we can track it back actually to the Captain of the Mayflower, Captain Jones on my dad's side, and then Miles Standish and one, I forget the lady's name, on my mother's side. But digressing, a lot, that's why Jones is such a popular and Smith, because they're not really Joneses, they're not really Smiths. Ladies and gentlemen, in fact, most families don't even know why they have that name. They don't know even what country they even originally came from. People can't even tell you who their great-great-grandma was, much less who their great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, you know, 12 generations ago or more was. So America had most of the patents, the ideas in war, the most vicious. I mean, the British Empire had never been beaten. They came here, and these people just wouldn't stop because they were the roughest, they were the toughest of England and Germany and Scotland and Ireland and all those people that came here. The German Hessian military slaves, so brainwashed, they were happy to die and didn't care that they were slaves. You know, Sisera, Conan the Barbarian, you know, 1750. You don't have to go back for German war slaves to the Hibernian imaginary age before the sons of Arius and after the fall of Atlantis to find German war slaves. And they would never defect in all these big wars they would have, but they would defect when they got to America. And they were like, you know, this is a good idea. I think I'm going to change my name. I think I'm going to join the rebellion. And that's what it's all about. Now, how did they take this distillation? There's only one other group anywhere similar, and that's the Australians. Some of the same type shenanigans created that group of people. Wonderful folks. That great expression of just wild men across the board. In fact, the Spanish, the French, everybody that came here was an adventurer. The Portuguese, that's why America has been so great and so outside the box and so rebellious. How did they take these people, who we are, all of us Americans? They demonize America. They try to make you feel like you're not part of American history if you're black or Hispanic or Asian. Again, the Asians that came here were the toughest, worked to death on the railroads. If you came here, this was like going to Mars or something. It was just absolute, the natives that survived were the toughest, the Native Americans. And they were all just humans. I don't romanticize and say any group was better than the other. Now, the natives were constantly saying, help us kill the other tribe. We got a beef with them. That's why the natives could be defeated, even though they were more numerous and very tough, was because they were always settling scores with each other. And the globalists used compartmentalization. That is the imperialists that were manipulating the wild criminals and sharecroppers and pirates and religious charter groups that were being dumped in. They wrote white papers that are public on what these groups would do. Same thing, dumping off the prisoners and the debt slaves from the debtor prisons out of the streets of London and Belfast and Dublin and other areas into Australia. You take them as your front line assault force, and you dump them out and say, fight it out. And most people died. I mean, you go back to the Jamestown colony, everyone died. You go back to the Pilgrims. What was it? Half of them died? Yeah, you can pull up the actual numbers. I tend to get history wrong. I was saying Caesar crossed the Rubicon in 44 B.C. It was 39 B.C., I just know the general quadrants. To understand all of this is to understand who we are. How did we become this? How did we go from being absolutely independent, rugged people, the animalistic but also intelligence cream of the world coming here? How did we become the slothful, dumbed-down creatures we are? It was done through chemicals. It was done through biologicals. It was done through manipulation of the language. And recognizing that we are under attack and recognizing that we have been denigrated and turned into shameful slobs is the beginning of turning this situation around. And that's my point there. Okay, now I'm going to try to discipline myself in this short little six-minute segment that's coming up. And then the long one's coming up after that. We'll get into more detail. I'm going to try to discipline myself when I come back and just read you the headlines. And we all know I'm going to fail. That's just the way it is. But I'm going to try because I've probably got 100 articles or more here. And they're all off the chart important. We're going to cover it when we come back. Now, before I go any further, I just want to mention to listeners that we've caught YouTube censoring us again, and they intend to just do this over and over again until we just give in and aren't upset or concerned about it anymore. And that video that I shot is up on our YouTube channel today. I shot it this morning with my children talking in the background, but it's important. I shot it. It's up there. We'll talk about that more later. And because of censorship systems like that, we've got to not just rely on Twitter and YouTube and things and Facebook. We've got to build our own systems, and we're doing that. And one of them is low-tech email, low-tech old web systems with high-tech cutting-edge information, videos, news articles, photos, documents to you. And that's why we have InfoWars Insider, and it's up at the right-hand top corner of InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. You see a banner there saying InfoWars Insider, exclusive video reports and more, inside scoop, photos, you name it. Just enter your email right there, and every Tuesday, because of the holiday, it's going out today at 2 o'clock. Today it's Wednesday. We're going to send you the InfoWars Insider. This one deals with a whole bunch of key stuff and has an exclusive video as well. So go to InfoWars.com and sign up for the free InfoWars Insider right there. Okay, masses of news coming up after this break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel.
I focus on the pain.
I focus on the pain.
The only thing that's real.
The only thing that's
real. Okay, we're back live. Let me just run through the headlines here for you, then I'm going to try to tackle this in more detail after the break. U.S. willing to leave 10,000 troops in Iraq past year's end, officials say. L.A. Times. And then, of course, we have the flashbacks where Obama has pledged that he would not do that. Also, Justice Department obstructing Fast and Furious gun probe, ATF director says. Also, governor gets bill requiring California textbooks to reflect gay contributions. They teach all this environmental stuff. They teach all this social stuff. Anything but reading, writing, and arithmetic. That's why we're last in the industrialized world and behind a bunch of third world nations. Mission completed. Protect IP Act gives government power to seize websites on a whim. Law professor warns that new legislation, and I've read the legislation, allows the state to seize websites merely for linking to other websites that host copyrighted material. Even Google has warned them, but they're just playing friendly. Banks' billion-dollar idea, sell your shopping data. They're already doing it. Let me give you a little news flash. Continuing here, Upper East Side woman ticketed for using city trash can. Meanwhile, they're getting rid of city toilet paper in government facilities. But don't worry, California prison psychiatrist paid $838,000+, and they're millions of dollars for shrimp on treadmills and bridges to nowhere. That's because the contracts for the bridge to nowhere and the shrimp contracts and the rest of it go to important insiders. It's all part of the gravy train. Wall Street Journal reports Cisco poised to help China keep an eye on its citizens with 500,000 surveillance cameras with AI software tracking everything they do. Well, public schools are putting these in nationwide. Why not China? I mean, Microsoft, Google, Yahoo, Cisco, they've all helped China build its architecture of surveillance, and they're now expanding that here under the name of cybersecurity. Moody's reports that they're downgrading Portugal's bonds with a negative outlook. And, of course, that's going to happen here soon, too. We told you Portugal and Italy are next to be bankrupted by design. This is all part of an economic takeover, and, of course, it continues. And the more you continue to bail out the banks, they get you to sign on to their debt, and then you get your pension stolen, including private pensions. They're now moving in Europe, in Ireland, to do that. They're talking about it now here. Now your own pension is welfare. You don't deserve your own pension after they take taxes out. Continuing here with the news, satellite images of the secret oil spill in China. That's up on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com. Also, out of his tracksuit and back into the military fatigues, Hugo Chavez returns to a hero's welcome in Venezuela after cancer operation. Another lying, corrupt politician right there. Continuing here with the news. I'm not even getting to the big news yet, but we will get to this after the break. We're going to get Mike Adams on the next few days. FDA unleashes endgame scheme to outlaw virtually all dietary supplements formulated after 1994. And Europe already has passed Codex Alimentarius and banned most mainline vitamins and minerals. You can pull that up, BBC, you name it, reporting on how great it is. You can now pay 300, what is it, euros roughly, or what, 500 pounds or so for a bottle of fish oil. And people couldn't believe it would happen, but that was actually added into the Food Safety Act last November that barely failed. It said we will implement via treaty. This bill is a treaty for Codex Alimentarius under UN control. Who needs a Congress anyways? I mean, already NAFTA and GATT signed over authority to the World Trade Organization. Already Obama says he launches new wars that are really peace because the UN says so. And people just can't believe this is happening as they SWAT team the Amish every week and attack and put horrible regulations on farmers' markets. All the regulations written by Big Agra to shut down their competition. And this big report, I'm going to spend some time on this hour because it ties into a bunch of other things that I've laid out for you and predicted. Didn't really predict it. The big social services handbooks taught at college for CPS workers actually teach. And every time I mention this, folks don't believe it. You can actually search this term. The family is a disease. The family is a archaic throwback. It is not modern. It is primitive and needs to be abolished. The family institution is mental illness defined. That's what they teach. CPS takes custody of six kids living with parents in storage shed. We'll be right back. Stay with us. It's all coming up.
He's 5 foot two and he's 6 feet four. He fights with missiles and with spears. He's all of 31 and he's only 17. He's been a soldier for 1,000 years. He's a Catholic, a Hindu, an atheist, a Jain, a Buddhist and a Baptist and a Jew. And he knows he shouldn't kill, and he knows he always will kill you for me, my friend, and me for you. And he's fighting for Canada, he's fighting for France, he's fighting for the USA. And he's fighting for the Russians, and he's fighting for Japan, and he thinks we'll put an end to war this way. And he's fighting for democracy, he's fighting for the Reds, he says it's for the peace of all. He's the one who must decide who's to live and who's to die, and he never sees the writing on the wall. But without him, how would Hitler have condemned him at Laval? Without him, Caesar would have stood alone. He's the one who gives his body as a weapon of the war, and without him, all this killing can't go on. He's the universal soldier, and he really is to blame. His orders come from far away no more. They come from here and there, and you and me, and brothers, can't you see? This is not the way we put the end to war.
But what do you do when you're for peace and people attack you? Then you've got to defend yourself. And that's why there have always been militaries and armies, and there always will be. And what do you do when an enemy doesn't attack your system, but you want to expand your borders? You attack yourself and blame it on your enemy. And it's one of the oldest tricks. The Romans used it. The Japanese used it. The Nazis used it. The Soviets used it. The Czars before them used it. The Brits, you've used it. It's been declassified countless times. And yes, our so-called government, of course, uses it as well. It's called the false flag, and it's taught in British and U.S. Army manuals that have been leaked by WikiLeaks and are public, and the Pentagon admits they're real and wants to arrest whoever has released them. Oh, but false flags don't exist. I sat here a month ago when this BBC hit piece rolled into town, and I know they've got my hands tied behind my back, but I still do the interviews. I don't know if I have a will in the future. I refuse a lot of them now, but I probably wouldn't even have done it if I knew how slimy this individual particularly was. I hadn't done any pre-research. I said, just bring it on. When the person got here, I would bring up real historical examples. They would just laugh at me. Gulf of Tonkin, Operation Ajax, Operation Gladio. They were just eye-rolling, giggling, laughing. I'd bring up the magic passports, not one but two, that survived 9/11 crashes at Ground Zero and then were found by the FBI. And he said, oh, I believe that. You see, because they're the rational people that believe whatever they're told. Okay, dealing with war, let me just give you some history. Obama said when he first announced for president, and I know because we've covered this in the Obama Deception Fall of the Republic, the clips are in there, that he would withdraw all the troops within 6 months. He used the term immediately in press conferences. Said, what is immediate? Within 6 months, all troops, 100% out of Iraq. Now, he's been in office over 2 years now, over 2 years, coming up on three here pretty soon. And he actually just renamed combat groups as combat support and increased the number of mercenaries and cut some U.S. troops and sent them as part of a surge, first 20,000, then another 20,000 or so, total about 50,000 regular troops, Marines, Army, supplemented by other NATO troops, and then even more mercenaries in Afghanistan. And now, what's happening in Libya. And so first he said immediate withdrawal. That means 6 months. He defined immediate as 6 months. He defines things. Libya is not a war either. Then he said, well, they're going to have to stay another year. Then another year. And you notice it's always another year now in Afghanistan. Oh, we're going to, in the next year and a half, withdraw 30,000 troops. Well, that leaves 20,000 extra that weren't there when Bush was in office. So he puts in 50,000. And then 3 years later announces in the next year and a half that he's going to withdraw 30,000, and that's withdrawing from Afghanistan, when that's 20,000 more than were there when he first got in office, after they're taken out. And now they're saying they're going to leave 10,000 U.S. troops. Ladies and gentlemen, they built six giant U.S. bases, the Green Zone among them, the largest U.S. embassy in the world. Complete with liquor stores, topless dancers, porno shops, shooting ranges, bowling alleys. I mean, these are big armored systems. And they're never leaving, just like our troops have never left South Korea. They've never left Germany. They've never left Japan. Okay, that was always the plan. The Pentagon, back in 2002, before the invasion even started, had put it wasn't even classified, had plans for an indefinite, well, even Cheney said, a 100-year war. We will be in Iraq for 100 years. He was at least honest about it. But see, Obama, we get to feel good, and mainline liberals out there get to feel like, man, this guy's great. He's given us free health care written by the insurance companies that actually cuts the level of care and doesn't cover pre-existing conditions. And he gives waivers to all the big corporations that contribute to him, and it's just total discrimination and corrupt. But so what? It feels good. He's keeping the torture going, expanding the secret arrest, but hey, he's trendy. So, okay, great. And Republicans are the same way. When You know, Bush endorsed global warming taxes, and they're like, well, at least he's a Republican. It's idiocy. They work for the very same global corporate interest that are the opposite of free market. And so now they are announcing, Obama has announced that, he promised by the end of December that they'd be completely removed. But now they're going to back up a decision even into the new year. And then they'll talk about reducing it down to 10,000 troops from the reported 60,000 that are there, not counting all the contractors. And there's over 150,000 of those where you pay even more money for it as we go bankrupt. Lots of, Halliburton $15 million blue tarp tents that cost $200. Lots of $800 hammers and $700 toilet seats. Of course, those were numbers in the 80s in congressional hearings. It's much worse today. And boy, if you can get the toilet seat or the blue tarp contract, you are sitting pretty. You give a few million bucks to the campaign of somebody, like the president, a few hundred thousand to Congress people, you buy off a few hundred of them, and then you get trillions of dollars. Well, that is our Congress, our government is like a vending machine. And if that's why big Democrat, big globalist, who everybody hailed as the great conservative, Donald Trump supported eminent domain. He wants your property for a casino. By golly, they're going to bulldoze your neighborhood. And in these eminent domain disputes, they now come to you. This is on record, and we covered it ad nauseum, you know, with the Connecticut cases and others and the Gore Seafood down in Corpus Christi, Texas. And many other cases where the government comes to you and says, we're going to take your property, and if you don't take what we're first offering within 6 weeks, we are going to have the government take it and pay you nothing. In fact, and if you sue us and fight it, and it takes a year or so, when we get the judgment, we're going to charge you for rent, and then you're going to actually owe us money. That happened with many of the people that fought it. So eminent domain isn't just that they take your property now. Eminent domain now, and by the way, we own a family farm / ranch in East Texas that we've had since 1829, 1830, Mexican land grant. What's left of it, generationally, it gets sold off and things, but it was a Ponderosa-style thing 100 years ago. It's still pretty big, but we're land rich, money poor, you got to pay the property taxes on it. And now you can't have hobby farms where you have a farm and a ranch just to try to pay the taxes. No, it's got to be profitable, or the feds then don't let you, exempt the money you're spending on it. And again, that's all part of openly running out people that are on the land. Most people in the country, again, have a job in town and they work at night or on the weekends. And that's all over. That's all being phased out, but why was I getting into that story? Oh, yeah, a couple years ago, my dad gets a letter from the state saying, well, we changed the law in Texas, and now if anybody ever wants to build a pipeline or a road or anything on your property, you have to accept what you're offered in 6 weeks, or we'll just take it and pay you nothing. And, of course, that's not even really enforceable, but a lot of people get buffaloed by it. I mean, this is the culture of corruption. It's like 10 years ago, I had a $100,000 house, my first home, and my mortgage got sold 3 or 4 times. And so I was every month getting a letter where to send my payment. And Bank of America bought my mortgage, and they sent me letters and said, your $3,000 in escrow hasn't been paid. We're taking it. And I sent them letters with copies of the escrow. And they said, we're going to start foreclosure on you. And I had to go get a lawyer and start the lawsuit process. And they said, oh, yes, we found the documents. But see, if I was old or sick or wasn't halfway intelligent, I wouldn't know how to do that. And I would just freak out and not know what to do and probably just pay them again. But even better, if I didn't pay and go along with the fraud, I would have had my home taken. And I know people that have had their houses taken in just that way. Remember, Bank of America, just a few months ago, got caught in Florida, and for 6 months or 5 months, the judge said, you took $1 million house that was paid for in cash that you never had a deed in any history. You never had a connection to this property. Not five owners back. You just stole it And previous courts went along with their fraud when they get up in court and swear they own it with no deed, no documentation. And they took the house. The people sued them, beat them, and the judge did the right thing and had the deputies go in and take the money out of the bank vault and pay them for the house that they'd stolen. And the bank was actually, the bank manager was saying, "We're Bank of America, you can't do this." And the cops were like, "Hey, we got a sworn thing right here, buddy." See, that's the power of real courts. That's the power of real justice. That should be going on everywhere. And then people wouldn't be scared when they saw a cop behind them. They wouldn't be, I mean, I've checked the sociology, the more recent anthropology. There's always been corrupt police forces in places like, you know, Chicago and New York. But in most places, cops were like known in the community. Everybody's bringing them coffee pies. Everybody liked them. And they were invited over to play dominoes or whatever. You know, and the cops had a feeling of defending people and wanted to go after criminals. And when crimes were committed, cops would work overtime to find out who did it. Now it's just the complete opposite. They're there to raise revenue. But when the police do the right thing, when they become true servants of the people and the law, that's a beautiful thing. Was those sheriff's deputies and constables going in there and saying, "We're taking the money out of the vault if you don't write us a check right now." And they said, "No, we're not going to do it." So they opened that vault. "We're getting that money." And they said, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, I'll write you the check." They got on the phone to headquarters. "We'll write you the check." That's justice. That's what's supposed to happen. In fact, they're not the bureaucrats, the executives at that bank that swore under oath to take the house years before. It took them years of fighting, then the judgment for 5 months to pay it back. They should all be indicted for fraud. I mean, that's hardcore fraud. You know, the IRS is always changing rules and sending you letters saying, "Oh, you owe this money because you didn't calculate this right." And you know, the whole thing's a fraud. It's paid to the private Federal Reserve. We didn't have the IRS till 1913. It wasn't enforced till the 1950s. Got it the same year we got the private Federal Reserve. It all goes to debt because the government doesn't issue its own currency. They have to get authorization from the private Federal Reserve, and then debt is created when the dollar's created. So they had to have that income tax just to pay the banksters. Just like the carbon tax is a new global tax to be paid directly to them, so you have the right to breathe and operate and live. And they knew exactly what they were doing then. We built this country without the IRS, but the IRS can make mistakes all the time. The IRS can, government can make mistakes and lie and do whatever it wants and never get in trouble. But you make a mistake in their giant code. They've done studies where you can go to 30, 40, 50, Forbes, Money, they've all done it, magazines, where you can go to a whole bunch of different CPAs and get different answers from every one of them because it's written to be selectively enforced. It's written so Apple and Google pay less than 3% tax. It's written so General Electric is completely exempt. It's written so that the big boys, how many famous billionaires have bragged? Ha, taxes, that's for little guys. They run the government. They take their money offshore. They don't pay jack diddly squat. But you pay it. Obama says if you make $125,000 a year individually, quarter mil collectively, you and your wife or your husband, that you're rich. The middle class, the small business owners, as everyone knows, is the complete engine. It's all we've got left. Our industry's gone. Our agriculture is starting to fall apart. Once the breadbasket of the world just 20 years ago, now can't even supply our own food. Because the monopoly men run things. They're purposefully sabotaging the entire economy so they'll be the only ones left standing. Don't you understand that? And I know I harp on that. Now, when we come back, I've got part of a news clip I want to play and I want to get into this. CPS takes custody of 6 kids living with parents in storage shed. And a lot of folks who think they're into freedom probably go, "Well, that's good." Let me break down what's really happening with this when we come back. A lot of economic news. We've also got news dealing with FDA unleashes endgame scheme to outlaw virtually all dietary supplements formulated after 1994. And so we've got all of that happening. Before I go to break, I want to tell folks we did this special last week, and it was extremely, extremely popular. And we ran out of Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, in the 5-DVD free book deal. And so I've extended it until Friday again, and then the deal will be over, folks. It will be over. I've added Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove about the globalist occultic activities, and it has the other film on the DVD, The Order of Death. So that's 6 films, 5 DVDs, $29.95, with a free book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True, and your purchase of the books, the T-shirts, the videos, and these special combo deals finances our operation and our growing resistance to tyranny. So Infowars.com to take advantage of the Alex Jones Essential. 6 of my films, 5 DVDs. There's 2 films on 1 DVD. Terror Storm, Obama Deception, Dark Secrets Inside Bohemian Grove, Endgame, Fall of the Republic, and Mark Dice's book, Big Brother, for $29.95. It ends Friday. Infowars.com to order, or 888-253-3139. 888-253-3139. You can also subscribe at PrisonPlanet.tv and see all the films and the live stream of the show. We'll be right back. Stay with us. By the way, I haven't even gotten into a lot of the news. I am pontificating on sociology, anthropology, psychology, because if you don't understand that, you understand nothing. But we told you this was coming. They ordered them about 6 months ago in Australia and the United States. Hundreds of millions of dollars of super high-powered. It's kind of like the old tasers were killing a lot of people, so now they increased the power about a year ago. Now they've got shotgun-fired ones that are much more powerful. Well, now Al-Qaeda is going to sow the bombs in the breast and in the stomachs. And so we've got to go ahead and actually hit you with something akin to a chest x-ray. I heard this on Fox News driving in this morning on 590 AM. And sure enough, Steve Watson has a big report out on it. Belly bombs, government claims, phantom terrorist will surgically implant explosives in humans. So directly from Dr. Strangelove to the pages of our newspapers today, a large group of belly bombs. Coincidentally, new full-strength body scanners are ready to be rolled out. A year before the underwear bomber, 2 Christmases ago, they ordered over $1 billion of naked body scanners to go in 214 airports. And the first group was ready for delivery and was to be put in. And we were talking about it on air. Oh, my gosh, next year the scanners are going in most airports. And then magically the underwear bomber on Christmas Day has gotten on the plane, protected by the State Department on record, and pops a firecracker in his pants. He looks drugged out. And then magically, they announced, oh, we're going to put scanners in because of this. But they already ordered the scanners. They were already ready. And then that happened. So, oh, I kept telling you they're going to have to chest x-ray you. And Australia says they're going to go with a system that is a chest x-ray. And you want to fly, that's the way it is. People say, well, then just don't fly. Well, now it's on the highways, it's at the proms, the bus stations, the train stations. I said I get into the parents and the whole case of CPS. And I'm going to cover that then in the third hour before Jimmy Justice, who goes around showing the police violating their own laws in New York City. It's a pretty funny stuff. Cops drinking in their cars, smoking cigarettes, cigars, cops parking in handicapped spots, police parking in front of fire hydrants while they're doing personal shopping. Then they come over and assault him. I mean, there's hundreds of videos on his YouTube channel. And he's really nice and polite, too. He waits till they come over and start, you know, attacking him till he even really says anything in most of the videos. Like, there's so many of them, I don't even know what videos to play here. I don't even know where to start. But with this, CPS takes custody of 6 kids living with parents in storage shed. I heard these poor parents on the news this morning, and he lost his job. I mean, what do you do? In areas of California and Hawaii, they lock the homeless up at night, just like England would do in the poorhouse. And it's that's how concentration camps began. That's what Hitler said in Germany. Oh, there's poor people that we've made live in the ghettos, and so now I'm going to put you in these camps for your own safety, and you'll work, you know, to pay for yourself. And then we know what that grew into. And so now, as real families begin to go homeless, this guy then, when he lost his job, within 6 weeks, got a job. He got the job at the storage shed facility, and he said, and the illegal aliens live in these all the time as well, but they're left alone. And he put air conditioning in it. He put a refrigeration. They could use the storage facilities, bathrooms. And he just about, you know, living there for a couple years, gotten enough money to move out. He was getting close to that. But he was working. And, I got to tell you, I've had some hillbilly cousins and people that lived in shacks that weren't as nice as a shed. I've visited family that, you know, that were just one step up from dirt floors. Do they have their children taken? And so there you have it. They're going to force you onto the street. They're going to take your children. That's always been the plan. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
The prestigious U.S. Medical Journal, 2 weeks ago, came out with multiple decade-long reports from multiple universities that the United States has the number one infant mortality rate in the industrialized world and is behind a bunch of third world countries. We did, 50 years ago, have the lowest infant mortality rate in the world, and it was directly linked, but got almost no news coverage in the mainstream corporate media, to vaccines. Now, we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen here, we're talking about a literal Holocaust that's happening with soft kill. They don't take you to concentration camp to work you to death and then shoot you in the back of the head. They just soft kill you through the food, the water, the GMO, the bisphenol A, all of it. Here's another one out of Reuters. I mean, more and more of this stuff's coming out. Autism may be linked to antidepressant use. And then it gets into mothers who take it. Well, I've had medical doctors and toxicologists on. Do you know that the entire serotonin reuptake inhibitor family is a manipulated molecule of chlorine mixed with fluoride? I mean, it's a poison. I mean, that's why all over the Western world, where upwards of 20% of the public's taking these things, that in every major river and stream now, the fish have brain damage. They've got marine biologists that study this. It's all over the place that the fish, generation to generation, are getting stupid and can't navigate and can't find their prey as well. The shrimp can't do it. The shrimp in the Gulf of Mexico are found to have the Prozac and other chemicals in them. You add the bisphenol A, where the fish, the reptiles, the snakes, the amphibians, the frogs, are hermaphrodites, and if they're not physically hermaphrodites, they're mentally hermaphrodites, and then don't breed, have no desire to. This is what we're taking. Cancer doubled in the last decade. Don't believe me? Just search that term. You'll get MSNBC, AP. Diabetes doubled the last decade in the United States. Don't believe me? Just search. Diabetes doubles last decade. It's all following an exact graph. That's the big service announcement here. Public service announcement, environmental factors may play a greater role in autism than previously thought. Who would have thought it? People say they're over-identifying autism. Doctors are now saying people are autistic who really aren't. And there might be some to that. But look, when I was going to school 20 years ago, there was a couple of autistic kids in the school. Now, you go to a school event or something, and there's whole rows. You try to take your children to a movie, there's whole rows. You go on the hike and bike trail, I'd say a third of the kids I look like are just out of their mind autistic. At different degrees. I mean, I go to restaurants and people watch, and in poor areas, in rich areas, it looks like they've been hit by a mutation ray. Me too. I'm an ugly creature compared to photographs of my grandfathers and people. You know, I see photos of my grandmothers. I mean, both of them look like, you know, cross between Scarlett O'Hare and Marilyn Monroe or something. I mean, we are ugly creatures. We're stupid creatures. We've been hurt. We've been brutalized. The strongest of us are just barely able to operate. And they're murdering us. And they know exactly what they're doing. And every day these reports come out. But they'll pull a stunt and say that this doctor or that doctor faked their science. The doctors prove they didn't fake their science. Still, they put out these hoaxes to make you think everything's okay. You know everything's not okay. You talk to any cancer doctor, they'll tell you when they were in residency in medical school, they would sometimes have to travel by train or plane across the country to see a child with cancer. It was like finding a Pinocchio, or it was like finding a leprechaun, some imaginary creature. Now, they're just kids dying all over the place of cancer. You go to the mall, every 10th kid you see has got their hair falling out and, a chemo bag on their arm. It's horrible. They're murdering us. We'll be right back.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're going to Jan Erwin here in just a moment. I've read many of his articles online. We linked some of them at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. And he's spot on in his research about the admission that television, the culture, all of it is designed to basically turn us into mind-numbed, brain-damaged, addled, servile, cowardly creatures. And the establishment writes thousands of white papers, tens of thousands of studies, all of it. And I want to break down television, this psychological warfare weapon, with him today. Also, then coming up in the next hour, I want to break down the fact that even if you're working and trying to take care of your family now, but you're poor, the CPS is going to take your children, and how this is part of the new poorhouse plan. And that's why they say they want a post-industrial world. In previous times, and in China and other places, if you're poor, you can still keep your children. Now they're going to take your children, even if you're poor, similar to what happened in the 20s, 30s, into the 40s, with the hundreds of thousands of sterilizations, single mothers having their children taken. And then now, of course, they adopt them out to the alternative lifestyle folks. I don't even dislike the alternative lifestyle people. It's that I know the CPS hunts children for them, and most of those folks that are adopting kids aren't even aware of that. And I think it's a great evil. But again, I'm being homophobic now because I don't want my children harvested by the state for no reason, so that people that don't reproduce can have them. Again, just stating facts is evil, and I understand that. And saying that this new war is a war is also racist. As YouTube said, criticizing Obama is now racist. We've been given strikes, and they may shut the site down. We have new videos out on that today because they say criticism of Obama in their letter to us is racism. And if you're against government-run health care, you're a racist as well. I'm not joking. I mean, you heard him say it on MSNBC. Okay, if you have an opinion about what color sheets you like, if you like blue sheets instead of pink sheets, you are racist against some blue-skinned alien race that we don't know about. I mean, it's all about playing us off against each other and creating this false reality where we run around and ninny about issues of little or no significance. I want to get into Cisco and others helping build the technological control grid in China, 500,000 cameras to engage in pre-crime tracking, the same systems going in all over the United States, including public schools, which should be named re-education camps. In the next hour, I want to get into FDA Unleashes in-game scheme to outlaw virtually all dietary supplements formulated after 1994. That's Mike Adams at Infowars.com. With that report, we're also going to get into this extremely draconian Protect IP Act gives government power to seize websites on a whim. Law professors warn that new legislation allows state to seize websites merely for linking to other websites that host copyrighted material. No judge, no jury. They just take your website. And Europe and Russia are trying to pass similar things. All these government corrupt systems are scared. Well, I mean, they should be scared. Again, our 8 YouTube channels, just the ones we run or that we're affiliated with, have over 300 million views. 300 million views. One YouTube channel has 125 million, and we don't even really promote it. The Super Bowl has 65 million views and makes hundreds of millions of dollars. I've done the math. People that have YouTube ads who get 10 million views, they might get $10,000. A 60-second ad on a television show with 10 million viewers is generally about $400,000. So see, the establishment has it set where they get $400,000 for their 10 million views, and you get maybe $10,000. See, it's all fraud. It's all false reality. They're the people spinning the false reality by design and trying to get us to buy into it. And then if you have critical thinking skills, we're now confirming that people that don't want to be groped are being called conspiracy theorists. Having an opinion that you're groping me, no, that's a conspiracy. That's heresy. I say I control reality. If you're a medical worker and you go back and say, I don't want to fly around anymore because they're groping me, you know, the boss says to the guy that sells medical equipment, well, you're a conspiracy theorist. See, you're not even allowed to have your own view or your own body now. Or if you know bisphenol A is destroying our sexual identities and feminizing men and hyperfeminizing women and giving them breast cancer, doesn't matter how many thousands of studies you have, you're somebody who's concerned about reality. You're a weirdo. You're a kook. You're dangerous. It's your fault. I get told that I talk about the Ponzi scheme in banking, and then it's going to be my fault that the economy implodes. Even though the central banks designed it to consolidate the economy in their own documents that have been leaked, 2002 IMF World Bank documents and others, even though they admit what they're doing, I've got to just say, oh, they're keeping me safe. Because if I don't and the economy falls apart, it's my fault. My fault for living in reality. My fault for being informed. My fault for not being lazy. My fault for not wanting to be a collectivist. Now, for the rest of the hour, hopefully a little bit into the next, because I'm going to him a bit late here, is Jan Ervin, and I know a lot of the folks here in the office are big admirers of his work, and we post some of his reports up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Here's one, TV, well, here's an article that breaks down a lot of what he talks about. TV is a psychosocial weapon, and this report goes through the admitted government studies where they admit they're putting you into a trance, and also the LVX system, ceiling lights, encoded internet data. Turns out that's also designed to manipulate the human brain. You know, that's how they hypnotize you, as a flashing light. Project MK Ultra, all of it. We're going to talk about this with Jan Ervin, right?
Jan Ervin.
I'm a little brain dead today, my friend. How about I call you Bob? Ervin.
There you go.
But you're joining us via video Skype, Jan. Now you're Don Juan or Carl Jung.
There you go.
Describe yourself for people, because you've got a long bio. How would you like to describe yourself?
Well, I'm an author. I've written a couple of books on entheogens and religion. I run a podcast. I am the curator for the official John Allegro website. He was a Dead Sea Scrolls scholar whose research was suppressed. I also run TriviumEducation.com and helping people, which is a website dedicated to teaching people the Trivium, which is a systematic method for deriving certainty to cut through the mind control system so that people can see how everything works, which
you're
is
talking
really
about
what
reality
like
testing. You're talking about reality testing.
Right, yeah, and that's really what I would like to go into to today with you, Alex, is the Trivium method and how it's used in media against us to control the population.
Well, Bob, Ervin, you've got the floor. and my name is now Bill Jones. So
I was thinking Christy.
Okay.
All right, let me start off by asking you a question, Alex. What happens when you get a virus on your computer?
Well, you generally respond by going and...
Well, let me put it this way. What happens to the way the computer functions when you get a virus?
It stops functioning correctly because disinformation has been added in that destroys its proper functioning. And that's what happens when we bring in false systems, false ideas
into our
minds.
Brains.
Yeah,
exactly right. And there is an ancient system that was developed primarily by Pythagoras and Aristotle called the trivium and quadrivium. It composes the seven liberal arts. And what they've done is, since the 1850s, the trivium has been systematically removed from our education system. And many of us will remember your former co-host, Jason Burmes, and his partner, Dylan Avery, when they were on Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and against Popular Mechanics. And if you go through that, there was a line of communication that fell through there that Jason and Dylan could have picked up on, that Popular Mechanics was primarily using against them. They fell into a lot of the traps themselves. But what I want to do today is to show people basically how to install a mental antivirus system into their minds so that they can spot how this stuff is being used against them, spot the logical fallacies, and then keep the conversation directed specifically towards the topic in discussion. Now, for instance, with 911, we can make our, you know, how can we make our arguments as solid as possible against attack? And let me just move my camera here. Sorry if that's going crazy.
No, Bob, please do.
And so with the 911 stuff, what we need to do is go back and we need to analyze our grammar before we come to our logical conclusions. What's happening to the quote-unquote truth movement is most of us are typically putting our logic before our grammar. We're putting our conclusions before we have sufficient data to back them up. And this is what the trivium is about. The trivium specifically is grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and it's always in that order. Now, not using the trivium is like putting logic before grammar is like trying to eat your food at a restaurant before you've seen the menu or ordered, or it's like trying to put a car together before you know what the parts are. Grammar is the parts. Grammar is the research. Like right now, I'm holding up a stack of papers from the Council on Foreign Relations that I got directly from the Council on Foreign Relations archives, and this is the grammar that I've been doing, or the research that I've been doing on the Council on Foreign Relations and specific functions that they're using or that they're manipulating.
And
the
by
public.
The way, these social engineers are masters at their core writings generally have three meanings. And they have meanings for the general dumbdown public. They have meanings for the outer councils in their groups. And then they have the inner meanings. And when you know how to read it, it's all hidden there in plain view. An example of that is Gary Hart wrote a letter to Iran, published it in the Huffington Post, saying, "We stage terror attacks. We'll do it again. Just like 9/11, Gulf of Tonkin. You better do what we say." But he wrote it thinly veiled. So when he was then confronted about it, he first lied and said, "I never wrote that letter." Then when he was confronted with the letter, he went ahead and admitted, okay, that is what I said. But it's almost like if you can't communicate with them and cut right to the chase with them, they will lie to you. But they have these weird rules that once you actually call them on it, a lot of times they'll be honest. It's a cult.
Right. And well, you know, see, what we need to do, Alex, is we need to defeat our enemy, we have to be able to break their ability to control us. And in order to do that, we have to take control, basically, of our own minds. And Leo Tolstoy once said that the printing press was a mighty engine for disseminating ignorance. And in other words, what I'm getting at is that literacy in and of itself is a form of slavery until a systematic form of critical thinking is practiced by the reader. Just being able to read, just having literacy, is not a way for people to learn and to keep from being controlled. That's how they control people. The trick is learning a systematic method for thinking to filter through the information that's coming in via the five senses so that we don't get a virus and spread that virus to others as false information.
Let me give an example of a virus and see if you agree, and then give the listeners a few other examples of this. When Obama comes out and says, "This is not a war in Libya, this is peace," and it seems outrageous to have them do that, or when the TSA sticks their hands down your pants or puts you in a microwave oven and says, "This is safety," they mean to destroy logic. They mean to condition you to accept their false reality, and they're waging war against reality. They live in reality, the social engineers, but they want us living in literally this matrix where they have implanted all this disinformation into our brains. And so I would attack 9/11 and the fraud by saying governments have done this before. This is why governments do it. And then I would go through the impossibilities in the official story.
I would agree with that to an extent, but the first thing that we have to do, Alex, especially with regarding 911, is we have to gather all of our data first and make sure that all of our data is gathered. Data and or grammar is also known as knowledge under the trivium, okay? And then logic is understanding. So what we do first is we gather our data first, we remove the contradictions from that data, which becomes logic, before we express that information to others, which is rhetoric or wisdom. Edward Bernays, to quote him real quick, said that the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in a democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. We are governed, our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is a logical result of the way in which our democratic society is organized. In almost every act of our daily lives, whether in the sphere of politics or business, in our social conduct or ethical thinking, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind. And that's from the very first paragraph of
propaganda.
Chapter 1. From Edward Bernays' book, Propaganda. That's correct. And so, you know, what we're looking at is these elites use sophism. They use the trivium against us. And the way to fight the trivium being used against us is to learn the trivium. See, what they've done is they've removed the classical seven liberal arts from our education. The word liberal in and of itself, Alex, comes from the Latin liber, which means book. And in ancient Roman times, the slaves were not allowed to study the seven liberal arts of the
liberal means learned or books.
Right. Well, exactly. And so the people, once you became freed from slavery in Roman times, the first thing you did was undertook a study of the trivium and quadrivium. Okay, so this is why book or liber and liberty are synonymous. Freedom means book. Okay, so people have to understand that their freedom is in the books. It's in the trivium and the quadrivium. Again, the trivium is grammar, logic, and rhetoric, always in that order. And if it's given to you out of order, if logic is put first, for instance, that in and of itself is a system of mind control.
And that's why we see people who will seriously, you say, I don't want government-run health care. And they say, you don't like black people. And for us...
Well, that's what they're doing is that's a red herring right there. They're diverting the subject
matter. No, I know. But for those of us that can have basic common sense and a historical understanding, we see it as an asinine, actual form of racism, creating division. But we don't understand. They're hitting an audience that is so confused that they just believe the symbol of the spoken word makes it so. And so they're primed to accept lies and have no discrimination to be able to calculate information.
I would agree with that, but let's put aside what we would generally consider a common idea of critical thinking, okay? Because, see, to the elites, unless you have studied the trivium and quadrivium and you understand and can identify logical fallacies, both formal and informal, they don't consider that you have any system of critical thinking. In fact, those who don't have the trivium are very easily mind-controlled. So what we've been doing is we've been putting this information out to people to empower them. So it's basically like taking the red pill in the Matrix. Once you have the trivium, you can see all of the logical fallacies that they use against you. And in fact, I launched a website recently called popupfallacies.com, and I the second video that I put up there was Obama's the death of Osama bin Laden video. And Obama has a lie per minute rating of 9.5 lies per minute. And when you can actually see the fallacies coming at you during these presidential political speeches, et cetera, you can begin to realize how to apply this information right away. So what we have to do, Alex, we have to get people to understand the logical fallacies on a global basis right away.
Well, here's a logical fallacy.
This is the way to stop these people.
Absolutely, but here's a logical fallacy. I mean, on the face of it, if government... is almost always lying or spinning, why do we then believe the next thing they tell us? And why do they use this mind control term of conspiracy theorist when we don't believe people that are certified liars? That right there is a blatant...
Well, a conspiracy theorist, labeling somebody a conspiracy theorist is an ad hominem.
Yes.
It's to get them to stop focusing on what you're saying, Alex, and to say, oh, ha, 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 Alex is a conspiracy theorist. It's an appeal to ridicule, right? So instead of saying that, instead of dealing with...
And then they have the appeal to authority. And then they have the appeal to authority.
Well, you can use that too, but see, you know, an appeal to authority is any appeal when you're using an expert to solidify a point, but, you know, what you have to show that that expert is an authority and that their integrity is not under question. But an appeal to ridicule, let's say that they are just say, oh, Alex Jones is a conspiracy theorist. What that is it's an ad hominem attack or an attack on the man. They're not dealing with the specific information that you're dealing with or presenting, but it's also an appeal to ridicule, which is basically like saying, Alex Jones is wrong because ha, ha, ha. You there?
Yes, I am. Mr. Urban, say that again.
I was saying that an appeal to ridicule is like saying Alex Jones is wrong because ha, ha, ha.
Yes.
Okay. And so these are the logical fallacies, and there's about 22 of the most common logical fallacies. There's probably a couple hundred in total. If people want to go to the triviumeducation.com website, once again, trivium, T-R-I-V-I-U-M, education.com, they can begin their study of the trivium and this information right there on the website. And if also if people want to get involved in study groups, I recommend that they go to Richard Andrew Groves' tragedyandhope.com website, which is obviously named after Professor Carol Quigley's book. So, you know, what we're trying to do is create a meme of giving this information back to people, the skills of critical thinking, the classical seven liberal arts, because you cannot be free unless you have these tools. In fact, the American Rebellion against England on the Canada Free Press website, this author, Kelly, I forget her last name, the other day for 4th of July, she published an article right on this website that said that the American Revolution was based around the trivium. And people knowing how to think, knowing how to slice through these lies and get to the truth, either that or to know what needs more research to derive at that truth, it is essential. So, you know, it is a big issue. You know, censorship in and of itself, there's censorship or secrecy is occulting information.
Yes, it is. Occult, hidden. Jan Urban is our guest. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll be right back on the other side. Long segment coming up. Jan Urban is our guest, and he's attempting to get people to go back to classical education, you know, going back to the Greeks, the Romans, common sense, what made Western civilization great. That's not taught now. It's all about being a ninny, being obsessed with your, quote, sexual or racial identity, fighting with everyone around you, knowing all the mindless trivia of the different ball games and the latest trial on television, but not understanding how human cultures operate, not understanding history, not understanding. I mean, they've convinced the planet to a great extent that powerful people don't meet in secret and don't have agendas and aren't dangerous. Total common sense for all of civilization. They have taught people how to instinctively now engage in their own fallacies, their own delusions. It's creating a delusional society. I just put it in layman's terms. Of course, decades ago, I did, you know, read over some of the classical literature and thought processes, but it's all there, self-evident. But what's good about what Jan's doing is he's technically bringing it back and showing people how it's being used against them now. So this is a long segment, Jan. I want to give you the floor now as if you're talking to a completely new audience, and I would imagine 90% of my audience on, you know, all these AM and FM stations have never heard of you. And they're intelligent folks. They know they're being lied to and manipulated. They know their neighbors just seem like they're complete idiots. I mean, they can sell insurance. They can be doctors. They can be lawyers. But still, they will giggle and laugh at common sense because they believe common sense is being a chump, not having a large lexicon. The system is limiting words now, destroying words, changing their meaning.
That's the systematic method of dumbing us down. I know you interviewed Charlotte Iserbeet last year. She wrote the book, The Dumbing Down of America. You know, this is the key stuff that they're using. They want people to sit there and instead of writing laughing out loud, they go LOL, right? You know, or all of these other abbreviations that people are using in text and everything else that is literally dumbing us down.
It's like animal calls. So listen, I'm going to give you the floor, but explain the basics of it for a start over, go through it, break down what television, all of it's doing to us.
Well, television in and of itself, without a systematic method of seeing through the lies coming out you, it's television programming, and that programming is programming you. It's not programming a machine. The machine is just a receiver, but the program is to program you. You're the one that can take a program just like a computer can. But what I want to do real quick is explain to people a little bit more clearly exactly what the trivium is. Okay, so I already said that the trivium is grammar, logic, and rhetoric. But the trivium or grammar, the grammar aspect of the trivium answers the question of who, what, where, and when of a subject. Diverting and ordering facts of reality comprises basic systematic knowledge. And not only the rules and development applied to the ordering of word concepts for verbal expression and communication, but for our first contact with conscious order as such. And then logic answers the why of a subject, developing the faculty of reason in establishing valid, i.e. non-contradictory relationships among facts, yields basic systematic understanding. So again, grammar was knowledge, logic is understanding, and then rhetoric provides the how of a subject, and it applies knowledge and understanding expressively and comprises wisdom. In other words, it is a systematically usable form of knowledge and understanding put together that you express to others. So let's say that you have a model airplane that you want to put together, and you have all these parts lying around, okay? That's the grammar. All those parts lying around are the grammar. Grammar should not be understood as just words and letters and punctuation. Grammar should be understood as the items that make up reality, the trees, the cars, the parts, everything in front of you out in reality, your computer, your keyboard, the glass of water sitting in front of you. That's the grammar aspect of your reality. And so when we're looking at the parts of this model airplane, we say, okay, we have to have knowledge of these parts before we can put them together. Otherwise, we're not going to end up with a model airplane. We're going to end up with a lump of plastic or whatever it is. But by having knowledge first of those parts, then we remove the contradictions and we put those parts together. That forms language, or that puts the model airplane together as a whole model airplane with the contradictions removed from it. And then when we go to someone else and express that to someone else, that is rhetoric or wisdom, okay? So if we take any of these things out of order, the entire system collapses. And this is what the elites use on the masses to control them. So, you know, even Albert Pike in Morals and Dogma on page, 866 or 869, 861, excuse me, proclaims that the royal secret of the sublime prince is found in the understanding of the Pythagorean 5-3-4 right angle triangle. The 5 represents the 5 senses, the 3 represents the trivium, grammar, logic, and rhetoric, and the 4 represents the quadrivium, which is math, geometry, music, and astronomy. And I should state that the quadrivium always has to be in that order. Math is number in itself, geometry is number in space, music or harmony is number in time, and astronomy is number in space and time. And in my own instance, when I was in junior high school, they took the geometry and they taught me algebra before geometry, which takes it out of order. You have to learn math, geometry, then go on to algebra and these calculus, these other forms of mathematics. So they intentionally dumb us down and confuse us by taking these ancient systems out of order. The trivium and quadrivium, see, the ancients figured out over 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago, exactly how the human mind works and processes information. The elitists have kept this information to themselves, and that's how they control the masses. By them understanding who, what, where, and when, and understanding the logical fallacies, and what they'll do is they'll use appeal to belief, they'll use circular logic, appeal to fear, just to jab at you a little bit, Alex. I know a lot of times you get criticized for using too much appeal to fear in your show. So by understanding how these appeal to fallacies are used and manipulated against us, we can take those out of our own thinking and then deliver a coherent, directed bit of information towards our audience that is going to empower them and enlighten them and give them the tools necessary so that we can stop this insane madness that's going on in the world around us, this new world order. And folks, the new world order is very real. The Perceptibilis or the Illuminati is real. And in my personal opinion, I very strongly believe that the religions themselves are also a part of the new world order, and the religions themselves get control people by their fear of sins in an afterlife rather than having to use direct physical force against you now.
Well, I mean, I want to continue to give you the floor here, because if I start interjecting questions, then you're not going to be able to really put these ideas out. And I know you're right, correct. Well, I mean, I've read the classic literature. I know that that's why the globalists call themselves a cult, because that simply means hidden. And right. Then it's all a big
the only way that they can control us is to hide information or to occult information, whether it's religious information, political information, or whatever. Whoever is occulting or has possession of that information and is not sharing it, they have power over that other person. So that is the whole trick. And education in and of itself is the unocculting of information, as I believe it was Johnson's dictionary in somewhere around 1851 defined it. So it is the occult. People need to study the occult and unoccult it. It's having it occult that makes it a tool that can be used against you, and it's your fear of understanding that tool that enables it to be used against you. So when people fear the Kabbalah, when people fear the classical seven liberal arts, when people fear studying things, It works to their own detriment, because this is how it is specifically used against them.
Well, expanding on that, I mean, I certainly know that organized religion is used to control people. Now, individuals' own spiritual journey, that's just a window into the wider universe the other dimensions. But there's no doubt it's being used. But
it's like psychedelics. Psychedelics are just a tool. It's like a knife. Okay, you can stab somebody with a knife or you can cut your steak with it. It's not good or bad. But what happens is that, these religions throughout history, shamanic cultures throughout history have used psychedelics for religious practices. But what happens is you get these elite groups that have the knowledge of the trivium and quadrivium and recognize that if they can shock people loose from other paradigms and then give them false information when they've been freed through the psychedelic experience, if they can take that moment when they're free and interject their own wrong information, then they can control people. So the trick is to give people, my recommendation, I don't speak against psychedelics at all. My recommendation is that people study logic, take a course in logic, especially in the trivium and quadrivium, before they use these things. But what I want to do is I want to go into some of the logical fallacies real quick, because, we've only got 15 minutes left. But what I want to do is give people the tools to begin to apply this stuff right away by the end of this interview. So we already mentioned ad hominem attack, and there's a couple of different forms of ad hominem. There's a circumstantial ad hominem, which means like I own a bookstore, I'm promoting a certain new law in the county, and somebody will come along and says, well, that person owns a bookstore, so therefore anything they say is invalid. That's a circumstantial ad hominem. There's appeal to emotion, which most people can figure out what that is, appeal to fear, appeal to flattery. your boss at work probably likes to use that. Well, not you, but you're the boss. But, you know, those who go to work on Monday, they walk into the workplace and the boss says, you know, Jane, that's a mighty nice new dress that you have on today. And did you get your hair cut? Well, you look like you're ready to do a fine job today. And so there's also appeal to novelty, appeal to pity, appeal to popularity. You know, Alex, if you do this, you're going to be popular with everyone. Or Alex, if you buy this new fancy car, you're going to have all the girls. Or if you drink this beer with all these pretty girls with blue eyes, Alex, you're going to have all the pretty girls around you. Or appeal to tradition, which is basically appeal to, let's say, well, in our country, we've always had slavery, and so therefore slavery is right. You know, that's an appeal to tradition. Or but we've always believed in Christianity, and Christianity is this. That's an appeal to tradition. Begging the question is circular logic. It's when somebody presents an argument. Let's say I argue that some aspect of, let's say I claim that God wrote the Bible, okay? And then somebody comes along and says, well, how do you know that's true? And I say, well, it says so right here in the Bible. That in and of itself is begging the question. You're using the same source that you got that information from to back your source. So that's a logical fallacy in and of itself.
Now, you have to judge the Bible off of the information and are the things that it talked about.
You know, and logical fallacies as well. You've got to remember that, you know, see, here's the thing. You know,
you're going to claim that's like a quatrain with Nostradamus, and in the world, there's always going to be similar things happening, what people predict.
There's things that we can go out into reality and recognize that are created from, if you want to call it God or Gaia or the Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it. So let's say we see a tree. We know that tree came from the Great Spirit. Or we see a brick wall, or we see a computer, or a window, or a house. We know that these things are what man created. We see a dog, or a cat, or a bird. We know that those are things that God created. Well, do books come from gods, or do they come from man? So if we use simple common logic, we can identify that the Bible is a book, and books are created by men. It's really simple logic when we put it this way.
I'm not trying to argue with you about that, because I think it's important to spur thought and to get people outside the box. But specifically, the main continuum of Christianity says the Bible is inspired by God. So it's not, people aren't saying that God physically sat down with a quill.
The typical interpretation is that the Bible is the official word of God, uncorrupted. So, you know, but many men, in fact, you had, you know.
But let me raise this point, to you, because, again, there's always complex. I don't want to get off into a debate about this. My only issue here is that I see the system attacking not organized Christianity, but attacking actually, you know, what Christ taught. And so when I see the system attacking something, and it is good to do unto others as you'd have them do unto you and things like that, then that makes me wonder, because there's this giant universe about, and I wonder why people always obsess on Christianity. I mean, if it's such hogwash.
Well, you can get into Zionism or any of these different subjects as well. So we have to be careful with all of these things, really. But the thing is to not get caught up into your emotions and to look at these things in an analytical fashion so that you can come to a systematic, a method of driving certainty and not use your emotions or anything else getting caught up in there.
No, I understand. I want to pull back here for just a moment, and we'll keep you a little bit in the next hour so you have more time if you can do it before I get to other news here. But just watching what the social engineers are doing, it's clear now that they're trying to overly lie and basically just train us to accept total la-la land, and that there's a real attempt right now to more than ever blur reality from fiction. A, do you agree with that statement? And B, what is the method to the social engineer's madness?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I mean, I'm asking, do you agree that they're really turning up the heat right now?
Oh, yeah. Well, see, right now, they're in a panic because people are waking up and they're figuring out how the whole system works. So they're trying to put as much pressure on us as possible. They're trying to keep, you know, all the rats inside the Skinner box, and all of the rats are starting to break loose and going, you know, forget this whole Skinner box thing. I don't want to be in the Skinner box. I don't want to be your little rat for your mind control gimmick. And
now, see, that's why I wanted to get you on. I wanted to get you on about mind control, about TV, about the rat studies.
And the trivium and all of this stuff that we're going into is the core foundation of how they use mind control. So that's why I need to cover that information first.
No, I understand that people aren't being given basic building blocks of thought, discernment, reality testing. I understand. So how about you stay 10 minutes with us into the next hour? It's only a few short segments.
If you want to go longer than that, too. But what we have to realize is that fallacies are errors in thinking, and that is the first thing that we have to deal with.
Yes, I understand that, because from that stems other deceptions. Once you've been taught how to just accept things that you're told because the person's wearing a nice suit and is on television, then the sky's the limit. People have got to be more skeptical.
Instead of a liberal education, what they're giving people today is a servile or a servitude education to get people to be good factory workers, good soldiers, not think critically, not question what you're told, just follow along, be spoon-fed the information that you're fed by the mainstream media.
And by the way, you're not just saying that. We have the Department of Education documents and others. We have the stuff from Germany going back over 100 years ago where they said they would do this. It's called kindergarten, folks. Not critical thinking, but regurgitating. We'll be right back. I mean, here's a logical fallacy. You got a better chance of dying from a honeybee sting than you do of being killed by a terrorist, but there's this giant federal force violating the 10th Amendment, 4th Amendment, sticking their hands down your pants, grabbing your genitals, and microwaving you in body scanners, when even if you believe in prior constraint to free speech, this is guilty until proven innocent. This is, you are all in a custodial arrest. That's what the feds are now saying when you go to an airport, and we're not going to do things that cops can't even do to you. I mean, it's just an open, brazen, precedent-setting case. The opposite of freedom, but our country has been so deluged with mental viruses. I like the way that our guest describes that we're unable to even think. He'll be with us a little bit in the next hour, and obviously I'm going to have him back in the future to be able to take your phone calls, because we do have Jimmy Justice joining us, who's really taking action, showing the hypocrisy of the police violating the law and getting away with it openly. In New York, I've got this other CPS takes custody of 6 kids living with parents in a storage shed. So we only got a little bit of time left with our guest. I want to tell you about a sponsor before we go back to Jan Ervin. And that is eFoodsDirect.com. Each week in July, eFoods Direct will be giving away an entire 1-year supply of storable, high-quality foods to a lucky winner. That's over $1,700 worth of food that you can store for you and your family for emergencies or until you need it, with a 15-year shelf life. To sign up, all you need to do is go to InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and click on their ad banners, or simply go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and enter to win. We will be announcing the winners each Friday on the show. Don't miss this opportunity and enter now to win big time. eFoodsDirect.com/Alex or 800-409-5633. We're also running for the rest of the week that special that was so popular. 5 of my films and Mark Dice's book free, $29.95, and your support of this broadcast makes it possible, obviously. Now, going back to our guest, Jan, let's say you had 3 minutes on national television to talk to the sheep. What would you say? You know, you're in a false reality. You've been programmed. The words you're using aren't real. Break out of your trance. I mean, I found that because they don't have the rhetoric, they don't have the basic classical education, they don't have any of this stuff, it's like telling somebody to swim who's never even been in the baby pool. I just say, hey, you better look around you.
Eventually, people have to take the first step and hold the rail and step into the baby pool, right? And that's the first step to learning how to swim. You know, you have to get wet. And so people have to pick up the books. They have to start learning this stuff, or we're all going to continue to be slaves. The broken trivium equals mind control. The fixed trivium equals liberation. So it's really up to, you know, the audience out there to break free of these systems of mind control and figure out how they work and to get educated. It's very important that we fix our education, that we study Charlotte Iserbeet, John Taylor Gatto, and these people that are giving us the real tools about the education system and how it's been corrupted, as well as Brett Vinat's School Sucks podcast out there. That is a top-notch publication, and the education system in and of itself is the core foundation of the mind control, with the trivium and quadrivium in that, and then everything stems from there. The political system, the PR, the marketing companies, none of that stuff would work. You wouldn't have commercials for that matter, Alex. Maybe this is against your own self-interest, but if people had the trivium and quadrivium, you wouldn't have commercials the way they are right now with all of, you know, if you sit there and listen through an average 30-second commercial, most commercials will run the full gambit of logical fallacies in that short time.
Yeah, well, that's my point is, though, we have lived in this system so long that most people writing commercials aren't even aware of it. It's just the culture of communication. That's why any sponsors I promote, it's something I use and I endorse. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, this interview has really gone fast. Love to have him up again and take calls for those of you that may disagree with anything he's saying. When I have you back next time, I understand you wanted to cover some of the basics, but people can always find that at your sites.
Right.
Jan. I mean, I've done the research you've done, and I know you've done some research I haven't, so I wanted you to expand out just into the rat mazes, the social conditioning, all the things that are going on, you know, the government documents and corporate documents where this is admitted. I mean, they admit they're manipulating people, and they cold-bloodedly are doing it. So if you can just show folks that, I think at the end of the day, to get people thinking and really challenging their beliefs and becoming aware and not just kind of passively in a trance going through life, I think that's really the most important thing. But talk about television a little bit. Talk about the rat mazes that are then, you know, directly moved to the shopping centers.
Well, B.F. Skinner was the first one getting rats and pigeons to respond to stimulus, basically by starving them. And so by withholding about a third of these pigeons' food, they could get the pigeons to react to different letters almost like they were reading, and then peck on a box or open a door or something like that. And so
that's why they destroy economies whenever they're about to make big social changes that are unpopular.
You're exactly right. So there, the bird and the rat's food is our money, right? And that's exactly how they're doing this. Aldous Huxley said, a really efficient totalitarian state would be one in which the all-powerful executive of political bosses and their army of managers control a population of slaves who do not have to be coerced because they love their servitude. To make them love it is the task assigned in present-day totalitarian states to ministries of propaganda, newspaper editors, school teachers. The greatest triumphs of propaganda have been accomplished, not by doing something, but by refraining from doing. Great is truth, but still greater from a practical point of view is silence about truth. And so it's people not taking action, not getting up and finding out what these logical fallacies are, not learning. You know, as soon as you study, if you go on the triviumeducation.com website and study the logical fallacies on there for 20 minutes and then go watch corporate media, you'll be able to start spotting those logical fallacies right away. It is immediate that you can begin applying these
things. What's happening is we're set in front of the television in our diapers from birth, and we're literally taught this. It's the ether we swim in. Until the entire culture becomes delusional. And what I'm seeing is that the ruling class themselves have been infected by their own propaganda, by blowback, and they are now addled and pathetic.
Exactly. And not only that, but they've started by accident somewhere along the line, they've started giving their own a bastardized form of the trivium. It's out of order on their own because you can tell because they're irrational thinkers now. They think that they have all of the solutions and all of the data, but it's clear that they haven't been doing their data gathering or their grammar. So, you know, it's very important that...
Well, they have the Google NSA spy grid where they want... the data, that first level. But then they're obviously not using the information they're getting. I mean, take all the open air genetic engineering, which all their own studies show could really hurt the planet. They're not worried about that. We're not even having a debate about that.
Oh, well, even chemtrails, you know, and all this stuff that I see them spraying. And I know a lot of people argue against.
No, they're nihilistic. It's going on. That's what I'm saying is that they're a bunch of spoiled brats who are sabotaging themselves and us. They want to tax carbon that plants use to live, but then they want to allow just all this other craziness that we know from their own data is deadly.
Right. Exactly. You know, and what they've done really is they've created a society of soulless people through the education system and dumbing us down through this whole Skinner's box sort of mentality and the Wundian PhD system.
We're going to talk about that next time. Jan Urban.
Let me throw out my podcast information.
I think we did it about five times. We're just out of time. I appreciate you coming on with us. Try to fire it out right now. Go ahead.
All right.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Seeing it in the mainline news, reports that shopping malls, grocery stores are going to have naked body scanners in them. In fact, some are already putting them in. And this is when it's confirmed that the TSA agents are having cancer clusters in the airports that have been testing the scanners, five airports in the last 8 years. Now they're being phased in at all airports, and they splatter radiation out at people. I have a letter here that's confidential that was sent to me by a Sony employee. So for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, I'm not going to show you this. I'm just letting the producers know not to show this with camera. But this is to all Sony DADC Americas Bolingbrook employees. You received a letter recently from Dave Rubenstein, president of Sony DADC Americas, concerning your new anti-piracy hotline. By the way, I now hear ads all over radio about call and tattle on your boss for any pirated software. I mean, how do you even know if it's that? And then how you can make money off of it. You know, this is the new economy, the prison economy, tattling. The common sense in more informed cultures was that snitch society is bad. I mean, if you know something's criminal and you can make your own decision on whether or not you need to, you know, tattle on somebody, not tattle. This is how you make money as they implode the economy. And this report goes on to say that they are going to have body scanners. Well, let me just read this letter for folks, okay? You know what? I've got the letter saying it's confidential, but I think that only means I'm not supposed to say who sent it to me. Will you bring me the other letter in here, please? Thank you. I was just reading this during the break. This is pretty big news. And this deals with body scanning Sony employees when they leave the building. All right, here. I will no longer work for Sony after they get the scanner put in. And when I was in the office, they were talking about Homeland Security and the scanner by phone or by the net. Thanks. This doesn't even say it's confidential. What is there, other letters? Why did you tell me it's confidential? Oh, yeah, sure. This letter, now I understand. That's why I'd read these. I'm like, well, why is it confidential? Yes, this letter is confidential. That is, they don't want the public knowing this. They want to hide this. They want to start microwaving their employees without telling them. I'm going to have to get this. Yeah, go ahead and give me a document cam shot of this, and we'll scan this in and get it over to Watson and have one of those guys, or Kurt Nimmo, write a story about this. Let me just read it since I got started. See, I read this during the break and kind of talked through it here on air with everybody. You're getting the behind the scenes here. We don't have time to have behind the scenes, discussions behind the scenes. We got to have it right out in the open because of time. All Sony DADC American Bolingbrook employees. You've received a letter recently from Dave Rubenstein, president of Sony DADC Americas, concerning your new anti-piracy hotline. In this letter, Dave stated that we are on a daily basis entrusted as the steward of our customers' content. That's folks sending DVDs to be mass duplicated, I guess, for Blu-ray. I know this facility. I've almost used it before. We're thinking about doing some Blu-ray. Assets and intellectual property. And that our content protection responsibility can be undermined by a single person stealing, copying, or diverting a disk or an electronic file outside the company. So I think it all sounds reasonable. You know, your prisoner's coming in. You agree to work here, but we're now going to microwave you. Well, you're not allowed as part of company policy under OSHA, but of course the feds won't enforce that. They're the ones leading this to put somebody in a scanner. But they're going to do it. To further support our responsibilities in this regard, we're in the process of introducing technology improvements to our exit scanning methods at our manufacturing and distribution facilities. The new scanning devices that we have chosen to employ were selected based on their first safety and non-intrusive characteristics. Oh, just like TSA says they don't stick their hands down your pants, but then admitted they do. Or the TSA claims the scanners are safe but wouldn't give Congress the documents. The documents came out and it turns out they're not safe. Number two, effectiveness, and three, improving throughput times. Those will reduce delays for employees and guests, I guess because they search you. Although, I mean, that's like going to a movie theater now before, and they've had people demanding that you give them your cell phones when you go into a movie because somebody might videotape it. No, you find out who videotapes a film, who uploads it, and then civilly you go after them. You don't treat everyone as a criminal. But this is the new conversion of society, guilty until proven innocent. And you're going to say, well, then don't work at Sony, or don't work at a government building, or don't fly. But now TSA is going on the streets. This is it's total control. It's turning the whole planet into a prison. Although the scanners may look similar to what you might have seen at some airports, they are in reality quite different in that they do not reveal anatomical details. Well, they've now added that software at the airport, too, where they claim that what the screener sees is an overlay of a stick figure, which it turns out that isn't true either. So this whole thing is there to just see if they can get away with it. Although the scanners may look similar, remember the Japanese government lying and saying the radiation was low and that there hadn't been any meltdowns when they knew for months there had been? It's the same thing. It's just a culture of lies. And the person writing this is probably delusional, and buys into it. It's magical thinking. If I say that this isn't bad for me, then it's not. It's like 20 years ago, they wouldn't use DU in the military because the Army's own studies and test and handbook said that it will kill you. It may take a decade or two, but it will kill you if you use this. But now they just said, we're ignoring that. We now say it's safe. Kind of like I have TV promotion pieces the government put out on CBS saying mercury is now good for your brain, because we say so. If you don't believe me, they're not going to believe it. I know we got that next video clip ready, but, well, I'm not kidding, folks. I actually have news clips saying that. Although the scanners may look similar to what you might have seen at some airports, they are in reality quite different in that they do not reveal anatomical details of a person's body, and they are passive technology, meaning that they do not transmit or emit any energy, such as backscatter X-rays. Thus, the scanners pose no harm to people, even those with medical conditions. We're told that by the airport people, even though they do. Or medical devices such as pacemaker, insulin pump, prosthesis. The scanner simply takes pictures, much like a handheld digital camera, and does not transmit any energy onto the subject in the form of waves or particles. I don't know how then they see what's going on with that. To respect your privacy, security personnel will only see the blacked out silhouette of a person's body. And any items that are being concealed will be highlighted. The images produced will not reveal any anatomical detail of a person's body. See images below. No scan images will be stored, copied, or transmitted. They will be erased once you have completed your scan. This is exactly what the TSA said 2 years ago. Turned out it's all not true. I hope they're being honest here. Everyone, visitors, employees, including management, exiting the facility will be required to go through the scanner. As with our other security initiatives, your cooperation is essential to ensure that Sony DADC succeeds in its commitment to achieving and maintaining the highest security standards. Thank you in advance for your cooperation. Any questions regarding this program should be addressed to your human resources representative. And this is from Trent Mulrooney, Senior Vice President, Distribution. Now, there is the body scan, and it shows the body. And they don't explain how this sees things under your clothes. They just say nothing's hitting you, but it sees beneath your clothes. But don't worry, we black it out. What does that mean? And it says sample image that security personnel will see. I mean, TSA tried stuff like this, so this needs to be investigated and looked into. But the employee we got the letter from says that it is a body scanner. Well, they've now confirmed they're going to put the FAST system, these 18-wheeler tractor trailers with body scanners, brain scanners, in every city in the country, and they're going to run everybody through these. You know what? I've got this guest coming up who really is on the front lines of confronting corruption and hypocrisy by police. And I can't really do justice to Jimmy Justice here on air. If you go to his site, you can see hundreds of videos in the last 3 years or so where he shows police breaking the law in every manner you can imagine. Illegal turns, reckless driving, smoking, drinking in the car. And then they come up and try to beat him up and knock the camera out of his hand when he videotapes it. Cops with their family in their squad cars, parking in front of fire hydrants. And the reason this is so important is in New York, they throw the book at people. And the police have even, to their credit, run an ad in the New York Times complaining a few years ago that we've been ordered to raise more money. We don't want to give you tickets for sitting on a park bench more than 5 minutes. We don't want to harass people for throwing, you know, trash in a city trash can. We don't like this, but we've been told to do it. So I can see why the cops are ignoring the laws. But the point is, you know, this stuff's so good, you need to follow it. And you certainly shouldn't assault people. So that's coming up. I'm at the going to overdrive today just because CPS takes custody of six kids living with parents in storage shed. Why is this so important? Because, well, we're going to break that down coming up. There's a lot of other news as well. Some days, I think sometimes we shouldn't even have guests because there's so much news, but the guests are also informative. We'll be right back. Every move you make, every breath you take, Big Brother will be watching you. Got a Wall Street Journal article here. Cisco poised to help China keep an eye on its citizens. I remember 15 years ago with federal grants putting cameras in all over the country, they said, oh, this is for traffic. And in a way, it was true because it had the dual use of traffic, but it was also wired into the federalized centers, the threat fusion centers that are now public. And Cisco, Microsoft, Google have all helped China surveil their own populations. But remember, before they were done building this, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. We're not face scanning you. We're not tracking you. We're not reading your license plate. That's Big Brother. And now it's, yeah, we're going to put boxes in your cars and tax you by the mile. Western companies, including Cisco Systems, Inc., are poised to help build an ambitious new surveillance project in China, a citywide network of as many as 500,000 cameras that officials, not servants, say will prevent crime, but that human rights advocates warn could target political dissent. Well, yeah, because the government is criminal, so it's so they can carry out their crime of domination. Now, I want to shift gears for the next 4 or 5 minutes before we come in here with Jimmy Justice. I want to shift gears to Ted Anderson of Midas Resources. Ted, you know, folks should know the drill by now economically. The 11-year graph for gold and silver shows both of them and their meteoric rise. Silver, 700%, gold, close to 500%. And every summer, at the start of the summer, gold goes down a bit before retracing its previous highs and going above them in the fall, winter, and spring. But to have in the middle of summer now, gold and silver rocketing back up again because of talk of dollar devaluation and defaults in Europe, I can't imagine what it's going to be coming up in the fall. And obviously, we always tell folks this. I hope they're smart and do it. People tend to buy gold and silver when it goes up. Ted always buys it when it's low and then sells it to you at the low price when it goes up. But now, stuff you bought a month ago when it was a lot lower, you're getting ready to run out of that. So I wanted to get you up here today to talk briefly about the economy, but also the special radio offers in gold and silver, because you were telling me this morning you're getting ready to run out of the gold and silver you bought when it did have that big dip. It's almost retraced its losses, especially in gold. But folks can get in a time machine today with this radio offer and go back and take advantage of that dip, even though it's racing up. Where's gold and silver right now, Ted?
Well, gold hit a high today of 1535, and silver hit a high today of 3638. And yeah, you're right, it is going up. I mean, gold's up $12.70 currently. And it's a hot market in the summer, which is just unusual. But when you have the kind of problems that we have economically going on in Europe and also the United States, we're having trouble. You know, you sent me that video, The American Dream and Big Brother. I know you're getting a lot of those books out yourself, but, I'm going to help you with that. We do have silver dollars. We're putting two silver dollars, Big Brother and The American Dream together as a package. It's $70 plus $5 shipping and handling. Alex, that video is, it's an animation, but everybody should see that video because it's the banking system that's destroying the world. And this puts it in such simple terms so people can understand what's going on. But that is going to, we're going to send that out free of charge. All you have to do is pick up the two silver dollars. And with silver, you know, coming up on $36 an ounce, $36.38 a high today, that's more than $70 just in silver alone, and we're delivering at $75 the videos and the silver dollars.
Yeah, let's use some logic here. Explain what they're getting for that price.
Well, first of all, you're going to get two silver dollars, and that is worth the money right there. Then you have the video, which is worth $20, and you have the book that's worth $20. So if you put that together, you're getting a $40 discount for the video and the book.
Now, Ted, when I said we were going to do this deal, we were just going to give people the American Dream free with the silver dollars at cost, and folks can do the math. You're going to add that we were going to have Big Brother free with two silver dollars. You've decided, I guess, I didn't know this, to have the free book and the free film, and people are getting the silver dollars at cost. In fact, $70 for two silver dollars, silver's gone up now. Isn't that actually below cost, Ted, just for the silver dollars?
Well, I can tell you this much. I'm not making money on this trade, but I think it's just really important that people get silver. Let's face it, you're going to need the silver. I mean, we're watching as we just move on down the road, the value of the dollar depleting.
Plus, it's about getting the word out, folks. This film, American Dream, 30-plus minute cartoon documentary about the history of the banksters. Very entertaining. Great watch. Get it out to everybody you know. And, of course, Mark Dice's excellent book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. That's free when you get the two silver dollars at cost. And Ted's little bit of profit is that he bought the silver when it was low and it's gone up a bit. But when you add the books in there, he's losing money. And Ted's very competitive. That's why he's now, the fourth or fifth biggest gold and silver broker in the country. That's a big deal. 800-686-2237. 1-800-686-2237. An absolutely smoking deal. And it's all about getting the word out. And I can't say really supporting the network or my show, but it's a great deal. Ted Anderson for joining us during that last short segment. Again, if you want to take advantage of the two silver dollars at cost and a free Mark Dice book and the great film The American Dream, free and free shipping, 800-686-2237, 800-686-2237. Also, it's very important to support our local AM and FM affiliate sponsors. If you hear people sponsoring this radio show, we're getting a lot of new stations. That's what it's all about, voting with your dollars. Please support those local sponsors. If you're a business and believe in liberty and freedom, you should call that station and advertise. Again, we need to work with our team partners, stations out there who are standing up for freedom and engaging in the bold move of putting this radio show on the air, where we have, you know, very complex, serious discussions of what's happening in our world. Now, there's no way to do justice to this, pun intended. I asked Jaron over the weekend, sent him an IM and said, please get Jimmy Justice on, and he did. And there's literally, I don't know, 50, 100, 200, I don't know, videos on the Jimmy Justice YouTube site. And he catches police breaking every law you can imagine. A lot of it petty stuff, but drinking in their cars, smoking cigarettes, parking in front of fire hydrants, driving the wrong way. And in New York, they throw the book at you. Here's one today. Upper East Side woman ticketed for using city trash can. Says sanitation worker was aggressive, frightened the bleep out of her, the double hockey sticks out of her. And it goes on to talk about, yes, they do ticket you if you're seen throwing paper away in a trash can. She threw a part of a newspaper in the trash. So it's all part of the environmental police. It's all about raising taxes. I've seen videos of mainline reporters while they're choking an ABC News reporter for no reason, smoking cigars while they do it, acting like goons. And so I wanted to get Jimmy Justice on, and we could play clips of this, but you just got to go to his YouTube channel. I can't, again, do justice to it. And the incredible thing is he's usually very polite until they come over and slap his camera out. Even when they're off duty with their wife, with their kids, they'll pull up, park in a handicap, park in a red zone. They'll park in front of a water main, a fire hydrant. And at the same time, and I've been to New York a lot, if you ask a cop directions, most of the time they'll scream at you and say, do I look like a phone book? I've talked to Austin police, I know, who've gone up there, to visit New York. And, officer, do you know where this is? And they're like, do I look like a directory to you? Do I? An example of the unions being out of control, but I've never experienced anything. I've been in third world countries like New York police. I'm not saying some aren't good. Some are very nice. But I want to play a short clip, and this is just one of his newest videos. We'll ask him how many he actually has. I didn't count them. Where it's a cop with his family in his car. He's a supervisor. He's in a unmarked police car, but it's got government stickers and all that. And he's parked in front of the fire hydrant. He goes in the store, shops, comes out. And Jimmy Justice is videoing, and he comes over and tries to knock the camera out of his hand, and then says, "I didn't hit your camera." It's this mind game. We had New York cops. This is in Truth Rising. Run up to us, dozens of them, drunk, and attack and break two of our cameras. I mean, breaking microphones bolted down in metal. These are like $5,000-$6,000 cameras. Just hitting them, slapping them, pushing on us, just because they didn't like us. And giggling while they do it. I mean, it's like gang members. So let's play a short clip here of Jimmy Justice simply videotaping a police officer parked in front of a fire hydrant. Here it is. There's the officer getting in his car, putting the goods in. There's the fire hydrant. This is only part of it. He has him pulling up and going in and coming out. And then the officer goes around the back. I'm narrating this for radio listeners. I forget we're not just PrisonPlanet.tv. Now the cop comes over. Boom! Hits his camera.
You can't touch me. Why? I can do whatever I want. I put my hand in front of you.
Why are you allowed to touch me?
I touch you. Where did I touch you? Put my hand in front of you. You went to me.
Do you normally block fire hydrants and misuse your official police department placard when you go shopping with your family, officer?
Okay, that's enough.
CD, buddy.
A command discipline is much worse than a parking summons. Okay, let's stop right there to top it off. And, he goes on and has some text about it. The cop comes over, hits his camera, grabs at it, and says, I can do whatever I want, and then engages in the double think of, I didn't do anything, I didn't touch your camera. Even though it's on video, he slows it down, grabs it, tries to throw it down. And I had MSNBC reporters attack myself with a knife. They cut my equipment, attack Richard Reeves. It's all on video in the extras of Obama deception. It's online. And the MSNBC would laugh and say, we didn't touch you. They would attack with a knife, cut up our equipment on video and say, I didn't do anything. And with mind control, that was shown in court. Many juries would go, whoa, they didn't do anything. I mean, they could be stabbing us with daggers, with blood spraying out. I'm not stabbing you. And people are like, well, he said he's not. So it's a conspiracy theory that he is. This is the mind control the public is under. Going to Jimmy Justice here. Here's his bio he sent us. As far as bio goes, you can just say that I'm a video vigilante or paparazzi. I make videos of New York City police officers and traffic enforcement agents violating the law. In New York City, there's a system of predatory ticketing. The cops scour the streets and write summons for every petty, nonsensical violation. Well, I was arrested for something that wasn't even an arrestable offense, famously. Not for public safety, but rather to raise revenue for the city. I make videos of cops violating those same traffic laws while they are running personal errands on the company time. I put these videos on my YouTube page so the public pressure can force City Hall to do more to curb the abuse of authority in the police department. In the course of 4 years of making these videos, I've had two cameras broken and I've been threatened with arrest numerous times. I have found that a video camera is the best tool for showing the truth. Jimmy Justice 4753 on YouTube, or just search Jimmy Justice, an amazing guy. Jimmy, how many videos have you shot?
Oh, I have probably 20 to 25 hours of footage, but that doesn't amount to 25 hours of video. Sometimes I will stand out on the street for 10 minutes and wait for an officer to come out of McDonald's where he's been eating lunch, and I wait for him to get into his car that's parked illegally, perhaps blocking a fire hydrant or otherwise, and then I can confront him. But I have many videos, dozens of them, on YouTube showing the same police department that goes around New York City in order to raise revenue, and of course it's not for public safety, and they write 14 million parking violations every year to New York City residents for the most petty and nonsensical thing. But then when they're running their own personal errands, or they're getting their lunch, or even when they're off duty in their own personal vehicle, they have this placard that they put in the windshield that says NYPD, and that gives them immunity from obeying any of the traffic laws. Because as we know, the police department does not prosecute each other in most cases, unless there is an outcry from the public, which forces City Hall to do something about it. And that usually happens when there's a video that's gone viral on the internet or on television news.
Why did you start doing this?
I started doing this because I got one too many unfair parking tickets that I didn't feel that I deserved. And I just noticed some of the same officers writing me these tickets. And then when I complained and I said, I'm really parked legally, it's not in your jurisdiction to give me a ticket for this situation, and they would just laugh at me and curse me out and then just go on to the next car and write them a ticket as well. And then I would notice these same people, when they're getting their lunch, when they're running their personal errands, they violating the same laws. And it was just this double standard.
That, did you see the footage in Rochester where they arrest the lady for videotaping in her own yard? Then they had a community action meeting about supporting her legal defense fund. And the cops, it turns out, even people that weren't part of the meeting, descended on the neighborhood, just a regular neighborhood, and would go up to cars that were more than 12 inches, 12 and a half inches out from the curb, and would give them tickets and laugh at them. And when I've been in New York, and I've been in third world countries, as I said earlier, the police either wear their hats way back on their head or way down on their head. Luke Radowski shot footage when he was protesting at Building 7. The security guards come out and say, we're going to say you have a bomb. We know you don't. We're going to call in a bomb threat. We're going to put you in prison. And they call in the fake bomb threat on tape. Cops show up and go, yeah, you know, it's right. It's like a Bugs Bunny cartoon with mobsters. They grab the camera, say, it's a gun. You're going to jail. I mean, the cops are so corrupt. These were Port Authority in that case, that they would engage in a fake bomb threat and then even give him the camera back when they said, look, we're going to put you in jail. if you don't leave for a bomb. Now leave. And Luke said, well, I guess I'll leave. My God. I mean, so there's no indictments. I mean, here in Texas, I'll tell you right now, if a cop got caught trying to claim somebody had a bomb when they knew they didn't, that cop would go to the penitentiary and should. I mean, I'm not trying to bash New York because I love New Yorkers. I like the people in New York. They're great people. How did your cops get so corrupt? Is it the union? I mean, are they unstoppable? Because I've never been treated. I mean, I've been walking down the street in New York when the crowds aren't even that heavy, and cops will just stand there going, move along, and I turn back like, is this actually happening? I mean, are they crazy? Do they only hire crazy people? What's going on there?
I would say that the longer that the system goes unchecked by the public, the more arrogant the system, the police officers, the government can become. And we need people out there with video cameras. We need people like you, Alex, to get on the radio every day and tell us what's really going on behind the scenes. We need to raise public awareness. We need to have people learn their rights of what they can do and what they should expect from the government and how to recognize when the police department is not doing what they're supposed to do. And when we have a good system of checks and balances, that's when we can keep this corruption to a minimum. There, historically, in the New York City Police Department, there has always been corruption. Unfortunately, it will probably always occur. But we can do our best to minimize it and keep it to the lowest possible level. I want to comment on two or three things that you just mentioned. The case in Rochester, I saw that video, and that was one of the most offensive videos that I've ever seen. This woman was in the front yard of her house on her private property, and she was videotaping the police pulling somebody over. And they took offense, and they trespassed on her private property, and they beat her up and arrested her. And you have to think about this. What was it that the police didn't want videotaped? And if you want me to guess, I would say they were going to do some kind of illegal search on the person they pulled over. They were going to do some tricks to try to find a reason to arrest this person or confiscate his property, and they didn't want that videotape. And then a week later, they had a community meeting in order to maybe raise legal funds or talk about how to defend this woman against the charges of obstructing governmental administration that the Rochester police threw at her. And yeah, I saw this video, five or six police cars that could have been going around Rochester actually arresting drug dealers.
Well, that was my point.
Arresting muggers. And they're going with yardsticks. And if you're more than 12 inches from the curb, you're going to get a summons. That's ridiculous. That's not the way to use your police department.
Well, but here's what I'm saying, though.
Crime.
Have you ever seen the footage of Luke Radowski with a permitted, and they come up and say, we're going to say you got bombs? And then the cops are so crazy, they admit all this. Say his camera's a gun, say leave or you're going to jail for terrorism, and hand him the camera back. I mean, those were hardcore felonies being committed by them. I mean, what's going on?
Yeah, now, Alex, I am familiar with your work, and I've seen some of your documentaries. Actually, my favorite one is when you sneak into the Bohemian Grove.
Yes.
And secretly tape that weird, bizarre, satanic ritual that they do there. That was some great stuff. And I also saw the footage that you're discussing where the cops say, we're going to lie. We're going to say you have a bomb, and it will take the judge a couple of days until they figure out that you don't have a bomb. But meanwhile, you'll spend the weekend in jail. And that's so unfortunate that cops can lie and get away with it, and they have that much power. And I wanted to discuss one more thing. You know, there was this circus trial in Florida about Casey Anthony, who was alleged to have killed her child. And she was found not guilty of murder, but she was found guilty on four counts of lying to the police. Now, I agree, if somebody hinders a murder investigation by lying to the police, they should be guilty of a crime. However, it made me think, she's guilty of lying to the police, but what about when the police lie to us?
Courts have ruled that police can lie now, and also now the FBI's been caught lying to federal judges. I mean, it's called tyranny, and
yes.
You know, quite frankly, first the feds said you're going to go to jail for lying to police, like Martha Stewart, and they technically claim she lied because of an accounting error And so, overall, we didn't have this previously, so I'm against it. I mean, I can see the rationale, you know, for saying, well, you lie to us, but now they say, well, in the first interview with the FBI, you said that you had $100,000 in the bank, but it shows you had $20,000 over here. And you're like, well, I was talking to him, and I forgot that CD that my grandma gave me. And they're like, sorry. I mean, I watch folks go to prison for quote, lies like that. But then meanwhile, the police now call it as a joke, liefying. And it's well known they now train major police departments how to lie on the stand.
Yeah, and besides for lying, you know, the police department have their tricks that they do to intimidate people. Like if they walk up to somebody in the street and say, let me see your ID. You know, the laws may vary state to state, but in New York, I don't think you have to carry ID.
No, no. A lot of them try to enforce failure to ID. It's been overturned by every court in the land.
Yeah, in New York City, the police are actually not allowed to ask for your ID unless you either just committed a crime or are about to commit a crime.
Reasonable suspicion, yeah.
The reasonable suspicion that you're about to commit a crime. So if they just walk down the street and say, let me see your ID, you really don't have to show it. And I suggest that all of your listeners should contact their local chapter of the ACLU. Here in New York, it's called the New York Civil Liberties Union. And they usually print out and give pamphlets to what you should and should not do when encountered by the police. People have to learn their rights.
My question to you is, why are New York police, and as I said, I've been in really bad third world countries and cops don't act like this. I've seen some bad stuff in Mexico, but they're even more professional while they're robbing you. How did New York get where the police look like an archetypal goon out of a mobster movie? How did it get like that?
I don't know how it got like that. It was just many years of being unchecked, and there is not a good system of checks and balances. In the 30s, there was a big corruption scandal. In the 60s, in the 80s, they had the Mullen Commission.
Yeah, they'd have to fire 76% of all the detectives because 70%+ were dealing narcotics. And now they just let them do it. It's just like, well, we run things. And so, of course, cops are going to walk up and go, oh, the goons called me. They say you got a bomb. You going to go to jail? You got the bomb? You going to go to jail? I'm sorry, folks. It's just too much. Look, I want to spend 30 minutes on it, and so I'm going to do it tomorrow. And I'm going to make Jaron stand in there with a rubber mallet and hit me in the head with it if I don't. Because I want to talk about the fact that poor people are now having their children taken all over the United States for just being poor. And I remember one time, and I had to stop doing it about 11 years ago, I went to the hospital because some listeners of mine who were being harassed by CPS were about to have a baby, and a blonde-haired, blue-eyed baby. They can get half a mil for those, generally 300 thou. And there's been admitted quotas for kids all over the country that have come out. And the poor folks adopting them don't know, you know, what's going on. That's why we're here informing them. And I was there when the mother was crying. And by the time I got there, I opened the door. Mike Hansen was with me as we swung the camera up. And the cop, they have special cops assigned to the CPS groups, had his hand on the back of her neck, squeezing her to make her sign the document. And the documents they filled out to take the baby weren't even the baby's name. It was from a case 3 years before with some other family. They go to judges with just fake same forms, and the judges just take the kids. These family courts didn't exist till the 20s. They're a eugenics court. They would order sterilization right up into the 80s. I know we got Jimmy Justice on with us. It tears my guts out, and I literally controlled myself, didn't attack the cop who looked like a demon. I mean, it was like he looked satanic. He was smiling. Controlling myself was so hard getting out of there that I crawled in the car, and Mike was in his car, started crying. And I even called into a local radio show and then had to start crying. People misunderstood, thought my kids had been grabbed. Why? He got so upset, it must have been his kids. I literally cried worse than when my grandfathers died, my grandmother died. And I say I have courage. Truth is, folks, that I cannot be around it. The anguish of parents with wolves taking their children. And I can't be around it because I was 1 centimeter from, well, And I'm telling you, folks, justice needs to come in this country. It needs to come through an awakening process. And I heard this poor black family on the news this morning had their kids taken for no reason. And I, you know, and every time I start getting a few tears in my eyes on air, when I'm really honest with people, I get idiot emails saying that's fake. You know what? You say that so you don't have to focus on the pain of what's happening to these children and these families. You say that as an ad hominem distraction. I'm fighting right now to not remember those memories, to start bawling out of absolute soul-wrenching pain, because I have my soul. I have my soul. I'm nothing special, but I have a soul. I'm awake. Going back to Jimmy Justice, I didn't mean to distract off, but I... into other issues. I know they take kids in New York. It came out in New York Daily News 5-6 years ago. They take little kids away there for medical experiments and even test pesticides on them. Did you ever see that in the New York News?
Not in the mainstream news, that's for sure.
And I was in New York Daily News, and it's just like, now a CPS worker did blow the whistle on that, because they, one little black kid, they poisoned to death, they killed him. In closing, Jimmy Justice, where's the best place to see what you're doing? Because all Americans need to do similar things.
As of now, the best place is on YouTube, but I don't know how much longer my videos will be on YouTube, and I might be a little bit of an ingrate because YouTube did put me on the map to say anything bad about them, but once they were bought out by Google, they just started censoring things, political speech. They censored so many things, and they pulled some of my videos off the air. Without explanation.
No, I know. And you've got to challenge. You've got to challenge those filings. When you file that form, it's in federal court under perjury. But I would file. See, we can't let them run us out of there, because that's where half the video views in the world are. But I would agree. Yeah. You should copy your stuff to other video sites as well. Jimmy Justice, I want to salute you. God bless you. I look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right, thank you for your radio show and all the good work and the good information you put out there.
Well, I try the best I can. In the next few hours, the InfoWars Insider email with video and a key article is going out. Sign up at the top of InfoWars.com. Great job, crew.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.